This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
So you get drafted right in the first round, and then you say, well, I'll go through the minor leagues, and then I'll make it to the majors at some point, hopefully soon. Hopefully soon is a couple months later for young Garrett Crochet, 21 years old, the left-hander with the fastball and the wipeout slider, who comes out of the University of Tennessee to the Chicago White Sox. 11th overall, 2020 draft. He's out of the state of Mississippi. Talking to him a little bit during the early part of the pandemic, just for about 20 minutes on Skype. He is a very confident young man. He believes in his abilities. He's got a nasty slider. And you see Chris Sale reaching the majors the year being drafted back in 2010. There have been some comparisons, not from Sox people, but just the profile of Crochet. Tall, slender, lefty with a wipeout slider to a guy like Chris Sale. 0-2, 100, strike three. Garrett Crochet, keep that baseball. His first major league strikeout.
Jason Benetti's pretty good at broadcasting, and the fact that he can spit some of that stuff top of the dome. It's pretty good. This is the Spiegel and Holmes show. By the way, I noticed this, and I didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, oh, yeah, that's right. We want to make sure that people can get home safe. American Taxi Dispatch is actually right outside here at the Links in Lindenhurst, and they're offering discounts on any ride. American Taxi covers the entire Chicagoland area with excellent fixed rates to and from the airports. Download the app, book online, or call 847-673-1000. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram, where new discounts are always being posted. I saw the car, and I was like, I thought someone was actually waiting for a ride. It was nice to see that our friends from American Taxi are out there taking care of the people here in Lindenhurst. Saw the mayor of Lindenhurst. Mayor Dom was out here saying hello.
Yeah, Mayor Dom says things are going well in Lindenhurst. Got a new Ace Hardware that just moved in a couple of weeks ago right here. And the folks from the Ace Hardware are out here making brats and burgers for everybody.
Which are free.
Got a soft spot for Ace Hardware, man.
I know, you work there.
My days at Armitage Hardware, at Armitage in Sheffield, my first job ever in Chicago, man. That was my spot. But, yeah, that's a beautiful thing because everybody's out here drinking, relaxing, having a good time. They're all one drink deeper than they were when we walked in.
Did you settle up?
Not yet. I'm a little frightened, but that's okay.
You should be.
But, I mean, you know, you can't take the slot good fortune and just leave, especially when you're going to announce to everybody here that you had the good fortune.
You didn't have to. That's why I said $200.
Yeah, good call by you.
The tax man coming.
Yeah, that's true.
My man.
That's
you gotta,
great. Ibsen? Eugene O'Neill, right?
I think that's right.
The tax man cometh?
You got to take care of it. You know what I'm saying?
So Benetti there talking about Garrett Crochet when he was drafted, and we've talked about this, Lawrence. Drafting Crochet like the White Sox did, huge organizational win.
Yep.
It's like the dream of what you want to get out of a top 10 pick. You know, let's take a guy, had some arm trouble. Let's see if he can do some stuff as a reliever. All right, well, he's had the arm trouble. He's missed some time now. Let's try and make him a starter. Let's give him a chance to do it. And he's great.
Yep.
Like, truly dominant, great. And because you suck as a big league club and your organization is so barren, you got to have an auction and send him on his
way. You're so far away.
Yes.
From being good that a young, good left-hander, not something that you could go forward with and extend and have and build around, because you're so far away. You need so much that a guy like Garrett Crochet doesn't matter for you, even though it's a dream scenario. It's a win organizationally.
Yep.
And this is exactly the type of guy that you should invest in and extend, and hopefully him play the majority, if not all of his career, in your uniform.
All the makings of a front of the rotation ace to carry you for a good long while. Worth the investment and everything. And yes, you're so far away that you have to deal him. Garrett Crochet was on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast with a friend of the show and Odyssey teammate Rob Bradford. It's a great podcast. Baseball Isn't Boring. And I listened to this on the way up and wanted to make sure that people heard it. There's a couple short pieces here. The first one is Crochet trying to describe his emotions, or kind of lack of emotions, at coming back to Chicago as a member of the Red Sox today.
I don't know if it's a big deal or not.
No, I'm not really thinking of it too much like that. It's I was there for a while, but at the same time, not that long, because I had so much injuries over the years. There's been a lot of turnover while I was there, and in the 6 months I've been gone. So it's you know, it is what it is. Yeah.
Is it? Does it? I mean, this is a weird question, but does it seem like a long time ago? You know, like, I know it's only been, you've only been
right,
3 months,
right.
But still, there's a lot has happened in the last few months.
Yeah, it does. And, like, I do have great memories there, but I also, like, am totally indifferent. I'm just very indifferent about the situation, to be honest. Like, and it's nothing against them or anything like that. It's kind of just, I don't know, because typically I am, like, a, you know, an emotional guy. Like, I pitch with emotion. It's like I have a lot of gratitude for them, but I really have no emotion about the situation.
Jeez.
So is that weird or what? I'm listening to that. I'm like, he's indifferent about it. He's got no emotions. And he's obviously being careful not to say something also.
Well, remember, there was that weird stuff with him and Getz. Remember, like, last year, there was the weird thing where he said one thing about whether or not he was available for trades, and then Getz said something else.
Uh-huh.
So I think there's some of that in there. And I understand his point, too, about, well, I mean, I wasn't really in Chicago a ton, but to be in an organization and not have anything to say about it, for them to be nondescript.
This is the homecoming game, or the revenge game, or the what, you know,
or the welcome back.
The welcome game. Back, and he's got nothing. He's got nothing. And so I'm listening to that thinking, that's
jeez,
odd. What's going on there? And then a couple minutes later, you know, they talk about the fact that he just signed this 8-year extension with the Red Sox, and Rob Bradford asks Garrett Crochet, did he think he was going to be a White Sox for life? Long term, did he think he was going to be a White Sox player?
From the moment you're drafted, you're looking towards, I mean, you're not looking towards it. From the moment you're drafted, you're looking towards debuting. Once you debut, now you're figuring out what arbitration is for the first time, because guys in the clubhouse are going through it. And then as you kind of start to hear about that, I feel like I was looking forward to that. And then once I hit arb with them, it was like, okay, next step's free agency.
The business takes over.
Right.
And like, oh, I'm going to wear this uniform forever.
I think that, you know, after being drafted, it was like, maybe that was a thought, like, be there forever. But I feel like once you get into a big league clubhouse and it's like 21 playing with Encarnacion, I don't know how old he was at the time, probably 36, 37, 38. And it's like, you know, he's been with tons of different teams, has had a great career. And it's like, more often than not, unless you're you know, Konerko or Veritek. It's like not many people are spending their entire career with one team.
No. Was there a guy that you talked to, you remember early on about that dynamic or?
Not necessarily, because, you know, it's like I said, I'm with guys that have been, you know, all across the league. It's like Liam in the bullpen in 21 was on like his, I don't know, seventh org or something like that. But then it's like, we also have, you know, Cody Hoyer, Aaron Bummer, you know, who were drafted by the team. And then, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of just like, I'm trying to find a reason, but that thought was never in my mind.
That thought was never in my mind that he was going to be a White Sox for life. Man, you put those two things together, you listen to that, you hear him talk about how quickly it became about the business and he was looking forward to free agency. And then what you added, Lawrence, about how last year he was like, I'm available in trade. And Getz was like, no, we're not really talking about it and blah, blah, blah. This is a dude who decided pretty early on that he was going to be long-term somewhere else.
Well, I'm of two minds on this. It makes me sad to hear him say that because you would hope that everyone would have an experience that they would want to extend and, like, the dream that all of us that have any sort of dream of being on a major league team or pro team is, I want to play there forever, right? And all of us have those feelings because these are the teams that we care about. When we're talking to the Score listener, they care about the Cubs. They care about the White Sox, right? So there's that part of it, and it feels like, ooh, that doesn't feel great to hear, but I understand it. And I understand it because of what happened with Chris Bryant. And you saw the light kind of go out in his eyes when he realized, oh, yeah. Oh, so I'm really good. I might be the best player in the National League. But somehow, I ended up back in Iowa because they wanted to have my rights for another year. Mm-hmm. And if you're someone like Garrett Crochet and you're growing up around that time and you're watching baseball and you're saying, it's a game, but it's a business. So I understand where he's coming from. The thing that I find shocking about this and disheartening, and I don't want to throw shade at Garrett Crochet. I understand where he's coming from.
There's some people on the text lines already throwing shade at Garrett Crochet.
I understand where he's coming from, but there is no connective tissue for him that came to mind.
Nothing.
Like, not someone in the clubhouse, not a scout, not the fans. Like, there is nothing.
There's been so much turnover, man. Like, when he at the beginning, there's Renteria in his life. And then there's La Russa. And then there's Pedro. And so there's Han. And then there's Getz. And there's all this turnover. And there's no identity of his experience. There are a lot of times, Lawrence, like, kids who come up when they're good, like, they come up with a bunch of their brethren that are also good, and they're all like hitting the bigs at the same time. You see it in Baltimore, you see it in teams all over the place, and you're like, all right, man, this is us. He reverenced it. Hoyer got hurt. Bummer was good, but in the bullpen, whatever. Like, he's got no connective tissue with this place.
But
sad to me.
It's sad to me, and I understand what you're saying. It's sad to me because even if it isn't the ideal situation, even if things go wrong, and for Garrett, they did. You know, he got hurt. Then things got weird. He was there in a playoff series. Then things started getting weird. And then he got hurt. And so there's a lot there. But inside of that, there was nothing that reached him. And that makes me sad for him.
Yeah, man.
That even inside of, we've all had bad situations at work at some point. But even if you did, there was something. There's some sort of like trauma bonding that element that you can do. You know, like I joke about what my time was like when I was producing the morning show, and it wasn't always great. Mm-hmm. But I had Maddie, you know, and I had Rock Mamola. Like, I had guys that
you need dudes with you.
Absolutely.
And he didn't have that.
And even in those bad times, even in what I would consider like dark times, I can still remember a funny moment or being appreciative of what it is that you had, or Fred saying something kind to me, like something like that.
I got
and
you.
And the fact that Garrett...
He can't think of anything.
That Garrett, and you can hear him.
Oh, he's cycling through.
He's going through
it. He's just naming teammates, grasping, thinking like maybe this guy was fun. Let me see. I wonder if Sox fans, and we can of course ask Shane and Tanny as our resident voices on this in some ways. It's like you hear that. Does that make you mad at the White Sox for not being anything he wants to cling to, or mad at Garrett Crochet for not clinging to your favorite team over these past few years?
Yeah, I can start. I can't be mad at Garrett Crochet, because I think part of why he feels that way is I don't think Sox fans, we could ever truly embrace Garrett Crochet, because we knew he was going to be good, right? And then, but you also knew, because you're informed by what happened with Chris Sale, that he likely wasn't going to be around here long term. So I think maybe he never felt that embraced by the fans, because I know certainly when Chris Sale was here, I made it a point to attend Chris Sale's final start. Because we love Chris Sale, you know, and even though it ended badly, he was a dominant pitcher, and
still is.
I know. Only a decade later, right? But I think that forever changed White Sox fans' perspective, because you saw Chris Sale, had he stayed in a White Sox uniform, would have been the greatest pitcher in franchise history, right? Because he was on his trajectory before he got traded, right? So seeing that guy go, I think Sox fans know that. You know, the ownership's not going to pay a premium for pitching. I grew up, like, being devastated when Jack McDowell left, you know? And I was lucky that, you know, I was, you know, one of the biggest Mark Burley fans, that they kept Mark Burley. Not till the very end. He probably should have retired to White Sox, but that's not how it happened. But they still gave him an extension in the middle of it, right?
But you remember, Tanny, there were some moments. It's one of my favorite White Sox memories, like, with my dad. Like, I remember when there was talk of Burley being traded, and I said to my dad, I was like, hey, they might trade Burley. We should go see him one more time. And my father was like, okay, let's go. So we went and we sat out in the left field bleacher. I think we were actually in the 108, watching Burley, because we were worried that it was going to be the last time that we'd see him pitch in a White Sox uniform. Uh-huh. So even with Burley, there were moments where you're like, wait, are they – they're going to get rid of one of the most favorite players of all time.
And if you're Crochet, you know, as you're coming up, that they don't keep guys like you.
And one more thing on Burley, very important. They chose to send him to Toronto, right? Or he ended up in Toronto. I can't remember if Toronto was before Miami. He couldn't take his pit bulls to Toronto. The White
Sox
forced the Burley family to allegedly euthanize their pit bulls because they couldn't take him to Toronto because there's a ban on pit bulls. So not only did you lose him in Chicago,
we killed his dog.
That's not right. He went to Miami first, didn't he?
I'm just saying, he didn't have to leave the White Sox to one day end up in Toronto to then lose his pit bulls.
Okay, yeah.
There's the one thing that sucks here. Is to know that talented players can come into your favorite organization as a fan, look around, and say, actually, no, I'm good. I don't like what's going on here.
It still bothers me, though, and I know it bothers Tanny, so I want to give him a little bit of space. Like, you know me, I am in a real love-hate relationship with the White Sox right now. And it bothers me that Dave O'Brien is out here popping off. It bothers me that there are probably other people who are out here popping off. And it's no fault of theirs.
Oh, dude. Like what O'Brien and Middlebrook said is the talk all around the league.
They deserve it.
They do deserve it. But there is still enough Southsider in me that I am angrier than I'm even letting on about this. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm gonna put my feud with the White Sox on pause for the weekend. I hope they kick the snot out of the Red Sox this weekend. I hope Dave O'Brien's got to wear that quote forever.
You going to go?
Maybe.
60 degrees tomorrow?
Maybe Sunday. I'm thinking maybe Sunday I'll go by.
I mean, it's Passover, so I can't go. Ed Farmer wishes me well. He wants to make sure I drive home safe, which I appreciate, but it's not a good time to go to the game.
But look, Tanny is a really good barometer. He is a great White Sox fan, and he is way less emotional than most people.
And I tell the humidity based on Tanny, so he is a good barometer.
So, yes, it's very important. But you're mad about this too, right?
A good manometer.
Yeah,
as well.
I kind of disassociated last season because I saw where it was going. You know, I basically stopped watching. You know, I was very upset about the Benetti thing, and then you see the product on the field, and you watch the broadcast, and you're like, you know what, this is not for me this year. This is not a year that I have to lock in and watch the Sox. And that sucked. Didn't go to a game the entire year. But this year, I kind of felt the optimism. I see what they're trying to do from an organizational standpoint, right? So, like, I'm paying more attention than I did a year ago at this time. But when you see stuff like that during the Boston broadcast and all the other things that have happened in the last calendar year, them being a national punchline, it makes you angry. I said in the group thread last night, how many more years do we have to put up with this stuff?
At least two. At a minimum two.
I don't know if I can make it that long, man. You know, like, I put a lot aside by trying to embrace what they're doing because they've got a lot of talented young arms. And that's why I'm not so broken up about this Crochet thing, because that's the one thing they have done is develop young pitching. They just won't pay for it once it truly blossoms, and that's whatever. I'd prefer, you know, develop some bats, why don't you? I just wonder how much longer we have to put up with this and being a national punchline, because, like, this is something, I've rooted for this team my whole life, you know, unlike other people on the show that, you know, they grew up maybe not rooting for them, or they switch sides even in their 30s, you know, Shane, in case that wasn't obvious.
What the hell are you talking about, brother?
It stings, man. I get tired of it. Like, when that play happened with the Pirates the other day where they smashed into each other, you see the video on social media, watch this embarrassing baseball play, and my gut is always like, oh God, what did they do now? What did they do now? Is it us? Like, oh, thank God it was the Pirates. Sorry,
you're
Greg Brown.
You're an abused fan.
And the thing is that I get that having any sort of anger towards anyone who is pointing out the obvious is counterproductive.
No, yeah, that's not what I'm saying. Yeah, like, I just
where the anger should be pointed towards the organization and ownership. But there is some, like, I do think that is very, I think there is something about it that is terribly White Sox fandom to be like, I'm so tired. Like, the rallying around being a Sox fan versus necessarily rallying around the White Sox. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I do, because it's the culture of being a fan with everything that goes on there and all the groups that go on there. You mentioned the 108, those the things that, like, guys like that have going, and all the food and the vibe and the ballpark experience. That's still fun. That's you're rallying around that and rallying around that identity.
Well, to be honest, for many years, Speaks, like, the identity, and Lawrence can verify this, like, for many years, the identity of being a White Sox fan was being a little bit miserable.
Yeah.
But also, but leaning into it and embracing some of the positives, like, oh, I get to stretch out at games or whatever. You get your dollar dogs and you get your half price Mondays, and you see a great player like Frank Thomas. But, like, 2005 changed all that. And then you realize how good it could be when things were good, and how, like, what an actual bonding experience was like with strangers. And, like, it took baseball fandom for a lot of us to a whole new level. And all we want to do is experience that again.
Yes.
Like, not even a World Series, but, like, trying to get back is what we want.
Yeah, a good month would be nice.
You guys know that I'm a numbers guy, not a fan, a meatball fan, right? I've always been a numbers guy. Are you familiar with what EBITDA is? The metric EBITDA.
It's a great play about Eva Perón.
Yes.
And then,
don't cry for me, Argentina.
Exactly.
He couldn't wait. You set him up, Lauren.
Sorry. This is the most damning point. EBITDA stands for earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. You would think that that number should be higher, right? You should have a positive EBITDA, all of your money before the taxes, the other stuff, all of the stuff that you have to pay is taken out.
Yeah,
that's always higher.
To be clear, Shane's always been a financial acronym guy.
Yes.
Like, don't you think so?
And someone that we go to for financial
advice.
Thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah, no, you
this
should,
week
should.
He's been very helpful.
Yeah, you should not do that. The White Sox.
He just said, don't look at your 401k. And I was like, that's a good idea.
That's a good answer. Good
well,
answer.
I wouldn't said, right now.
He said, Speaks.
No, there's no reason to.
Yeah. He said, Speaks, go play that slot machine before the show.
And that
and
was
look,
good financial
and
advice.
Look how it worked out.
All right, so EBITDA.
The White Sox are one of three teams in MLB with a negative EBITDA. It's the White Sox at negative 15, the Blue Jays at negative 8, and the New York Mets at negative $272 million.
Well, the Mets are, because Steve Cohen is insane.
They're already down $15 million before they take out anything that they have to pay.
Wow.
Whether it be payroll, taxes, interest, depreciation, any improvements on the ballpark, anything they have to do, they're already down $15 million as of last year.
Man.
It's insane, dude.
That is weird. That is, you know,
it's upsetting.
The whole thing is very upsetting. I have to be clear, though, by the way, that Mark Burley signed a free agent deal with the Marlins, and then the Marlins are the one who sent him to Toronto in trade and probably euthanized
his team. That's what I said.
I'm saying is he should have had to leave in the first place.
No, but you can't blame the White Sox for euthanizing his dogs. You can't put that on him. There's so much you can blame them for.
I'm sure they would if they could.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not. There was a really interesting piece that is kind of out there from Esquire about Caleb Williams.
Yeah, man.
We need to talk a little bit about it. There's a question I want to broach with you, Speaks, okay, about Caleb and the interview with Esquire.
Oh, good.
And some of the things that we learned about him in it. We will do that next here on The Score.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well, everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on The Score.
Frankly, Jason, I don't think you should sell the business right now. There's a lot of potential buyers out there. Let me get out of the hospital, run the numbers, get you the best price.
Cinelli's offer seemed fair.
There's lots of things to take into account. You even know what your EBITDA is?
My what?
Earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Gives the true picture of a company's profitability.
What did you say it was? Your EBIT?
EBITDA.
Your EBITDA? Apparently it's EBITDA. EBITDA. Just so, just for our own edification.
And isn't it amortization?
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I don't. This is
like you amortize a loan.
Yeah, this is deeply out of our.
I think the double M makes it a amortization, right?
I don't think so.
No, okay. I think so.
All right, we'll get it cleared up.
You'll get it figured out when you buy a place. You'll hear all about it.
When you replace Jim Cramer, you'll have that stuff on lockdown. I mean, somebody needs.
I could make a statement, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
I would trust your stock tips. Anyway, Esquire.
You ended up making.
I ended up doing it. I said I wasn't going to do it, but I did it. Let me hit a button. Anyway,
Esquire and Caleb Williams.
Caleb
baby.
Williams did a photo shoot.
Oh, did he ever?
The photo shoot is grand. It is awesome. I wish I had that type of confidence, man.
I mean, there's a lot of confidence. They're model type shots with beautiful clothing and a good look. Do you think he gets any crap for that in the locker room?
Sure, but only because those guys wish they were the ones doing the photo shoot. But I mean, look, Jalen's got a stylist. You know, there's a bunch of guys in that locker room that have a stylist.
Uh-huh.
So maybe not. Maybe not as much as is back in the day.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking about is when Mark Sanchez did the GQ spread in New York.
Yes.
After year one, I think it was. I think there was a lot more half nakedness.
Yeah, you don't have to do that.
No.
You can if you want to.
Sure.
Shout out to Haley Van Lith. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated for the swimsuit edition.
Yeah, no, there's no kink shaming on this show, as you know.
It's very clearly not after the last couple of days. Although Shane did try to
kink shame you?
Yeah.
No, I just said that I don't believe there's no sex happening in the dungeon. That's all I said.
In the how about the champagne room? Is there any sex in the champagne room?
Rick Hahn tells me no, it's not allowed.
Chris Rock made very clear there's no sex
there's
in
none.
The champagne room.
Absolutely none. But anyway,
and he got slapped for
the
it.
Caleb photo shoot and teammates' reaction is mildly interesting to me. Champagne but what's more
room.
Interesting is everything that is said in the article. There's some stuff in there.
Yeah, so listen, I used to get bothered when Dan would do this too much, so I don't want to do too much of this, but I am
going
to.
Is this an email from Stonecutter?
No. But I am going to read to you a little bit
that's
here
fine.
So that people know a little bit about the story.
Is this a Greg Doyle column?
No.
All right.
It's not. Go ahead. Keep going down the list.
Is it Jim
All right,
Sheen
we are looking for a big finish on Who You Crappin'. He's done reading. It is up to
See? Terry knew.
Hey, that's a second Who You Crappin' reference.
Did you read Craig Calcaterra's Morning Cup of Coffee?
I actually do read Craig Calcaterra's
Craig's
Morning
good.
Cup of Coffee, just not on the air.
Joe Sheehan and I skip and always have. But that's okay.
I like Joe Sheehan.
Okay.
Just not as much as Dan did. Anyway, here's part of the piece from Esquire.
Okay.
It reads, Caleb Williams, the number one pick in last year's NFL draft, has almost blocked out the trauma of his rookie season. The Chicago Bears, the team for which he is the starting quarterback, finished at the very bottom of their division. After a promising 4-2 start, they lost 10 games in a row. The head coach, Matt Eberflus, got fired in late November, the first time the Bears franchise had ever canned a coach midseason. And Williams spent much of the year running for his life on the field. He was sacked a league-leading 68 times. For an athlete who carried the nickname Superman since high school, it was a cold dose of reality. Nearly 2 months after the final snap, Williams still has trouble computing how much losing he had to endure. Quote, I'll be honest with you. I've never lost this much. I lost 10 games in one season, I think, maybe 11. He pauses to recalculate a hint of incredulity. That could use Dan there. In his voice. It's actually more than 11. I confirm that. Yes, this team's record was an ugly 5-12. Williams can be forgiven for the experience, a little dissociative amnesia. To make all the losing even worse, people had expected more from Williams and the Bears, a lot more. Unlike most top picks in the draft, who typically step into the worst team in the league, Williams joined a roster that seemed poised to win. The Bears had acquired their number one pick in a canny trade, and then they go on. So later on, the writer says this. Around his teammates, Williams tried to conceal his frustration, but his emotions spilled out in private after a couple of late-season losses. Quote, when I got home, I got in my bed, I just dropped a few tears, and I was just so beat up mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Damn.
Now we can discuss.
So that's how heavy it hit him to lose all those games and to have all that go on. And by late in the season, you're talking about post-OC change twice, post-coaching change. You're talking about a lot that man had to deal with. And spiritually? Yeah, I don't begrudge that at all. But, you know, feeling that way at the end of your rookie season when he got beat up. Good on him for being comfortable sharing it. I got no problem with
that.
Yeah,
and you know, that's kind of what I wanted to talk a little bit about. I always wonder about stuff like this because it does usually make its way back into the zeitgeist of the people who care about whatever team an athlete's profile is done in. I wonder how we can get to some of those places where him doing a radio interview like this or him talking with Brad Biggs or Dan Wiederer or Jason Leisure like this is more common.
Maybe.
And I don't know if there's a real an answer to that. Yeah. I just love like getting this level of truth and honesty from an athlete about how bad things were, how emotional you got in those moments.
I hear you. I think setting matters a great deal. I think that he has chosen to protect himself in the public spaces during the course of the season. I also think, though, man, the comfort level of having the new coach and the new direction makes it easier for him to talk about because he thinks those things are in the past.
If Matt Eberflus is still the coach, he probably isn't saying a lot of this stuff.
Exactly. And to that point, Lawrence, I know we got to take a break. There's another section of this where, if it's all right with you, I'd like to do some reading. Maybe we could both share some reading here.
Next segment?
Yeah, some reading rainbow time.
Especially since I can't say incredulity.
Yeah, that's all right. But there's another segment here where Caleb dials in on the moment that this whole thing fell apart last year, and it is the moment that you and I, Mr. and Mr. Validation, the couple that we are, will be able to stand up and say, I knew that's when it happened, because we were broadcasting right here for it.
All right, let's do that. By the way, we are at the Links in Lindenhurst.
Yeah,
it is an awesome place if you want to come and watch the Masters that's going on. I didn't see who made that incredible shot, but everyone here went crazy.
It was you in one of the bays.
I actually putted okay. I actually had the Bettinardi going a little bit. But we are here, and we'll be here until 6 o'clock. You can bring your clubs in here. If you want to get into one of the bays and take some swings, you can do all of that. You can get a drink. They're serving food from outside. I feel like a burger has been calling my name. I might have to do that before we get out here at 6 o'clock. Thanks to Circus Sports for bringing us out here as well. When we come back, Speaks is going to bring you into when things went badly, according to Caleb. Stick around. You're listening to The Score.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland!
He did it!
Oh, this one will be paid back over and over again for decades. The ball tipped by Stevenson. Noah Brown just standing back there all alone. Plucks it out of the air for the victory.
Come with me, Hail Mary. One quick tea. What do we have here now? I just love that song.
Damn, look at, listen to the vocal range on that guy.
I am not really a huge Tupac fan, but that song puts me on 10.
That one speaks to you. That is the actually, Hail Mary with his, the Hail Mary.
His two verses, and then the rest of it is trash, but his two verses of that song are fantastic.
Well, that Hail Mary, that was not so much fun. Tyreek Stevenson playing up to the crowd and then hustling back and being in the wrong spot, affecting the play poorly, other things that went on, and we were broadcasting, Lawrence. We were doing our show, the Spiegel and Holmes show. We saw everything fall apart that very week. And guess what? As Caleb Williams tells the writer of this Esquire piece, who's going to join us on Tuesday, right, Shane? Brian O'Keefe, who sat down with Caleb Williams.
Terrific.
Will be on this show on Tuesday. Caleb Williams brought up that game as well. Let me do some reading. Settle in, everybody.
All right, I'm going to settle in.
Kick your feet up. Relax.
All right.
What's undeniable is that plenty went wrong last year that was beyond Williams' control. To begin with, the Bears' offensive line wasn't good enough at protecting him. Strengthening the O-line is one of the team's offseason priorities. Then there was the coaching meltdown. The Bears had won four of their first six games last season when they faced off against Daniels and the Commanders. And he talks about the game and talks about how, worse, one of the Bears' defensive backs had been taunting the crowd at the beginning of the play rather than paying attention to what was happening, a moment that became SportsCenter fodder. Even worse, Eberflus, the Bears' coach, caused a firestorm when he said that conceding a 13-yard gain on the play before the Hail Mary, quote, doesn't really matter, unquote, and seemed to avoid responsibility for the loss. That didn't go over well with his players. Williams acknowledges that this moment was a turning point. Here's the quote from Caleb Williams in Esquire. Quote, how he handled it at that time for that game was, I think, one of the things that throughout the locker room people talked about and were annoyed by, he says. Eberflus was fired a month later.
He was fired a month later after another time where he didn't manage the situation nor the clock correctly.
Without a doubt. But after that Hail Mary, that week, is when the leadership of that entire staff was toast because he didn't take accountability after the game, didn't take it again the next morning, didn't get fired. Meanwhile, Dan Quinn is there saying stuff mattered when Eberflus is saying it didn't matter. It was obvious, and then all the players started talking that week. Remember?
Yes.
How, and we counted. It was like six different players, maybe seven different players that were comfortable saying some ish about the entire coaching staff and how bad things were. Tyreek wasn't punished during the course of the week.
And remember that they had to think about how that was going to play out. Like, that was a thing where he didn't walk in knowing exactly what he was going to do when it, and we seemed shocked when asked the questions about Tyreek, which he should have been ready for.
Yeah, like on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I guess it was Wednesday because Tuesday was the off day. But either way.
No, I think it was Monday. It was Monday where he didn't have an idea.
Ready. Yeah, right.
And it's shocking. It was like, really?
That entire week, we saw the entire fabric of that team just fall apart. Leadership was toast. Players were chatty. Leadership council was chaos. We started laughing at how many captains they had because we knew that nothing was under control.
We're still laughing at how many captains they had.
We really are. We really are. It's true. That's when the Bears were firmly established in chaos. He wasn't fired till a month later, but he was toast that week.
I just think back because I have my laptop here with me. By the way, the awesome Olin sticker that Tanny got us.
Yeah.
I was like this on my way down to my office. I was just standing there, and I was like, oh, you know what? I should probably just – I'll just sit back down. I want to see how this whole thing plays. I'm just going to sit right back down before I go downstairs. So I put my laptop down, and I'm like, these mofos. Like, you talk about ways to lose a game.
Yeah.
The Bears last year were right there with the White Sox.
Every week, man.
On the strangeness of them losing games.
Yeah.
And that's the one that set it off.
So, yeah, it really was. And, I mean, so Caleb goes ahead and puts a point on it. Texter says, I can't stand to hear that crap again. Please stop it. LOL. Yeah, I mean, that was as miserable as it could possibly get.
No, I get everyone feeling a certain way about that.
Yeah.
It's dark times. Hopefully that dark time will bring about something cool because now Ben Johnson is here. But this is what I mean. Like, I understand the position that Caleb Williams is in as the de facto spokesman for the team. Because
no
one wanted to hear at all from Matt Eberflus about any of this. Shane Waldron was already gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Poles was nowhere to be found. So it was left to a rookie. Like, this is the stuff where we go back to Spice going, yeah, it was kind of like he had to teach himself.
Oh man,
how to play.
They thought he was going to come in there and save all their asses. They thought Caleb was going to come in there and just do everything and save stuff.
And a guy that had never gone through losing like this, which he mentions in the Esquire piece, to then be responsible for it. Like having to be the person that's like, so things aren't great and we lost the game and we're going to figure it out? Question mark?
Yeah.
I'll do the best that I can. We're working on it, and we're sorry.
The number one conversation that is happening around these parts here up at Lynx Golf in Lindenhurst, where we are today, courtesy of Circa. Thank you, Circa. The number one conversation, it goes like this. Some people come up to you. They go, hey, what do you think the Bears are going to do in the draft? Here's what I think they should do in the draft. I've had a version of that conversation with like six different people. They ask us, Lars, but they really just want to tell us. And that's awesome. Like that is Bears fandom right there. Have you had that conversation yet?
I've had 20 of those conversations here.
Hey, what do you think? You think they're going to take a running back? You can't take a running back, sir. I haven't said anything yet.
Hey, Holmes, what do you think the Bears are going to do? I think they should take a tight end. And let me tell you why.
Let me tell you why.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Go.
So that's the number one conversation. I've heard very little conversation about the round of drinks that I've bought. I mean, like nobody is bringing that up. Yeah, it already happened. It happened a while ago. Not a single person has come up and said, hey, Speaks, thanks for the drink.
You got no thank yous for that?
Not a single thank you so far, man.
Spit out your drinks.
Thank you, Speaks. Thank you, Speaks. Thank you, Speaks.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Thank you, Speaks.
Now we're getting
somewhere. Thank you, Speaks.
That's right.
Thank you, Speaks.
Yeah, and I've noticed a whole lot of people coming up and talking to Lawrence. Like, I mean, a couple people have come up and said hi to me. But this is a big Lawrence crowd.
Well, I will tell you, Speaks, if you've noticed it, I've noticed it.
I know.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
Well, I was very happy. One guy brought two copies of the comic book that I did.
Yeah, he did?
Yeah, and so I signed them.
That's really cool.
Radiant Black 18, if you can find it, it should still be out there.
Nobody
Shout to my guy Kyle Higgins.
Nobody's brought up a copy of my comic book. Nobody's brought up mine.
Well, I mean, you know.
I didn't do one. That's the problem.
You should do one.
They keep bringing up all my nudes. I don't know why so many
Sign
people
them.
Have them.
Sign them.
I'm just giving them more.
Sign them. The one with you and Crocs, I thought was...
Just
was,
Crocs, was, baby. All whites. Crocs.
I thought it was that was uncalled for. You're not a Hall of Fame
Rock out with your Crocs out.
Oh, no. See, that happened.
It's important.
Man, yeah, we got a lot of stuff we still to get to.
Yeah, you have to pay off a 47-and-a-half-hour tease.
That's right. Is it time?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, because, like... It is a little cruel what I've done to the listeners.
And to your partner.
Yeah, but you can handle it. You're tough. You're a radio veteran. You're okay. It's been a 47-and-a-half-hour tease. How will the early relationship between Ben Johnson and Jared Goff inform the relationship between Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams?
You're going to pay this off?
Damn right.
We're going to do that next here on The Score.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.